taking a look at preventing and treating dental disease now with Dr. Lowell Lackritz of Madison. He's been with us about, gosh, Lowell, has it been 20 years? At least 20 years.
You bet.
So it's great to have him along today, too, as we talk about your teeth and maybe about mine, too. I don't know. We'll see if we get into that. Join in with your questions and comments at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. And maybe we can look back. You know, have things changed a lot in dentistry in the last 20 years?
They sure have. They sure have. The technology has made huge leaps forward in materials and equipment, and everything has been so upgraded. Dental offices now can go completely paperless using, you know, digital x-rays and getting everything computerized. Patients' records can be, even old records can be scanned and put into the server and brought up. And, you know, it's just great.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's good for everybody.
In fact, I talked to my former partner who was in my old office, and he said they had something like 40 boxes of papers that they had to bring somebody in to have shredded.
Oh, because it's all now in the computer.
Now it's all in the computer, so they don't need this stuff anymore.
Oh, that's great. Well, I tell you, we've some callers coming in. Again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Before we take that first call, though, let's go back to the dozens of choices that we have for toothbrushes, and how do we pick out the right toothbrush for our teeth and gums? And I know that you and I, myself, as a layperson, love electric toothbrushes.
Right.
But talk a bit about that.
Well, in the past, it was thought that a hard, stiff toothbrush was the best because you could scrub away on your teeth, and it was thought that would really get them clean. But it was realized after a while that actually hard, really stiff bristles actually cause damage to the teeth, cause excessive wear on the enamel and the root surfaces of teeth and abrade the gum tissue. So today's thought is a soft toothbrush, very soft, and used with instead of a scrubbing technique, more of an up and down motion. Mm-hmm. And the electric toothbrushes are very, very popular because they either spin or use a high frequency vibration to help clean the teeth and gums. And they're very, very efficient and much more easy to use, particularly for people who have difficulty manipulating a hand toothbrush, the handicapped, the elderly, and so forth. So the electric brush really takes the work out of it. You simply just have to guide it along.
And go with a soft brush.
Yes.
With it. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Most of the electric toothbrushes are soft brushes.
Let's go ahead and turn to John in Milwaukee. John, hi. Thank you for calling.
Oh, hi. Thanks a lot for taking my call. I wanted to ask the doctor about something I heard about on TV about a year ago. It's they said they were using it in Europe right now. It's an ozone gas that kills decay in teeth, and then it kills 99% of the germs, and then you can regrow healthy new enamel. Has he heard of this before? Or?
Well, you know, there is all kinds of experimentation going on. There are ways we have today of remineralizing enamel that has been slightly damaged through the process of tooth decay. If it's not too deep or too extensive, this can be remineralized and the decay process stop. There are areas of softness that can occur in the enamel through the eating of very acidic foods. These can be remineralized also using certain types of toothpaste and certain types of materials that you can apply to the teeth. I have not heard of using ozone. Mm-hmm. As a media for this, but there's a lot of experimentation going on, trying to control the bacteria which are responsible for tooth decay. Streptococcus mutans is basically the species that's most responsible for that, and there are experiments going on now trying to insert genes into these bacteria which would render them harmless.
Oh.
So I don't know how long that's going to take. It may take years, but sooner or later, they're going to come up with something which will control the bacteria that cause tooth decay and gum disease and be able to eliminate it.
Thank you very much for
calling.
Might
put a lot of dentists out of business.
Yeah, well, I think most dentists are pleased when something new comes up that helps them in their job, but also helps their patients.
That's true. That's true.
Keith in Wisconsin Dells, your turn. Hi, Keith.
Hello. How are you doing today? And
great.
Hello, doctor.
Hi.
I have a couple questions. My first question is for my lower wisdom teeth in the rear, I was told from a dentist probably maybe 4 years ago that I wasn't going to have to worry about those because the way they were shaped and the way the roots angled, they weren't going to be a bothersome. Well, now they're starting to be a bothersome. They're starting to push on my bottom teeth, and they're kind of making the front bottom teeth go different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question is, because he said the roots were at an angle, they were like hooked, they were like shaped like hooks. How are they going to go about removing those, and how much pain am I going to be in?
Well, that's a little unpredictable as to you know, the pain. A competent oral surgeon takes out literally thousands of teeth during their career, and they run into all kinds of problems and difficulties with these and handle them very, very well. Even hooked roots that would seem to be almost impossible to remove, they could get them out because there's always a way of removing them with the angle so that you mm-hmm. can actually extract the root of the tooth using the angle of the root as a direction. So I would probably, if you could get a hold of your x-rays of those wisdom teeth, take them to an oral surgeon for an opinion and find out just exactly what it'll take to do the job and what you can expect as after effects and so forth, and find out how much it's going to cost.
Yeah. And it's something probably should be done?
More than likely, if it's starting to push on the front teeth, if they are moving and causing the lower front teeth to get overlapped, it's probably something that should be done.
Yeah. There you go. Thank you for calling, Keith. And we'll take some more calls. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Let's turn to Darcy in Stevens Point. Hi, Darcy.
Hi, Larry. Hi, doctor.
Hi.
I have a question about my 1.5-year-old teeth. I'm not sure she's old enough to go to a dentist yet, but I've noticed some light brown stains across all of her teeth evenly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just one tooth. I'm wondering maybe if there's, if you know what a cause might be for this, and maybe something that we should start doing or stop doing.
Well, pediatric dentists generally recommend bringing a child to the dentist at about 2 years of age. Mm-hmm. And these stains are kind of irregular. It depends on the person, the metabolic processes, the way the chemistry of the body and the mouth are. Some children will get these brownish colored stains and some won't. Usually they're very easily removed with one of those little spinning brushes that the dentists and dental hygienists use to polish teeth. And they come these stains do come off very easily. And it's not a bad idea to get into the habit of get the child into the habit of brushing their teeth, and that'll help to keep those stains at bay a little bit.
Yeah, and an electric for a little youngster.
Yeah, yeah. I would recommend getting a small electric toothbrush. They have them in sort of pediatric sizes, and they're, some of them are very inexpensive. You can get them, at places like Shopko and Walmart and places, Target, places like that. They're quite inexpensive, and they're sort of throwaway type. They last a few weeks, a couple of months, and then you can kind of toss them. And most of them sell for around $6 or $7, and it's not a huge cost. And it's a lot easier for the child to do that with an electric one. You can make it kind of a fun project.
Sure.
It's much easier for them to do that than trying to manipulate a hand toothbrush.
There you go. Thank you, Darcy. Appreciate your call. And Kevin in Madison, let's go to you now. Hi, Kevin.
How you guys doing today?
Good.
Good, good. I just had a quick question on right now with my insurance company or my insurance holder that with my company, I do not have dental. Now, I'm 36 years old and going to start probably have to visit a little more often. And I was just curious if you had any ideas for dental insurance that, might not be covered for most people on their current plans.
Okay, your employer offers health insurance, but not dental? Is that what you're saying?
Not in the package, no.
Okay, is it available?
I don't think so.
Uh-huh. It's pretty difficult to purchase dental insurance kind of on your own.
Oh.
Most insurance companies, there are some who will offer dental plans. They have varying forms of coverage. A lot of them will cover one or two cleanings a year and perhaps some minor dental care in the way of fillings and so forth. But you have to do a little research. You could probably go online and try to find some of these plans. Most people who have more comprehensive dental coverage get it through an employer with their whole comprehensive health package. But it's a little difficult to find sometimes, but it is out there. And you could compare prices and so forth and see if it's worthwhile. Have you had dental problems in the past at all?
Not really, but it just seems to be some cavities popping up now here and there.
Well, it does. You know, as you get closer, as you get a little older, you know, things like that do happen. But what I would suggest is kind of double your efforts on home care.
Yeah.
You know, really start taking good care of your teeth. Brush regularly. Use a non-alcohol mouthwash from time to time to help control plaque. And basically, you'll do a lot more in the preventive aspect of it. And if you do get a cavity once in a while, get that fixed, and it's quite likely you won't be troubled by a lot of these problems.
Yeah.
It just seems like a lot of times that I hear from other people that go to the dentist that don't have insurance, they just seem to be really paying quite a bit of dollar out of their pocket.
It is not an inexpensive process to get dental restorations done and dental work done. It's one of those things that people have to put up with or not. And having health and having dental insurance, of course, is a great help.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I would suggest maybe going online and searching online for dental plans that you might be eligible for.
And thanks very much for calling. Appreciate it. Dr. Lowell Lackritz, our guest today, as we talk with him about preventing and treating dental disease. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking prevention and treatment of dental disease today with Dr. Lowell Lackritz of Madison. Larry Mueller here. Thank you for listening in. We'll take some calls. Christine in the Twin Cities up next with a question for you, Dr. Lackritz. And Christine, hi.
Hi there.
What can we do for you?
Well, I'm calling because I'm looking to possibly get my teeth whitened, and I know there are a number of options available. I just don't know if it's hard on my teeth, if there's a downside to doing it. It's a vanity thing, obviously, but yeah. I just thought if the doctor could speak to that, I'd appreciate some information.
And were you having it done by a dentist?
Yes, okay. By a dentist.
Yeah. Okay. It's a very popular thing to have done now. People want nice white teeth, and there's really nothing wrong with doing it. Occasionally, depending on the product that's used to do the whitening, there are generally two types of products. One contains hydrogen peroxide, and another contains a different type of form of peroxide, and it tends to be dependent on the percentage of peroxide or bleaching chemical in the product that's being used. And some people are more sensitive than others. Generally speaking, if care is taken in the application of this and a proper fitted bleaching tray or mouth guard is made, there should be no problem with it. Although from time to time, there are people who have sensitivity for a while after the process is done. And there are various ways of doing it, too. There are processes which might take 2 weeks. A stronger solution might be used. It would only take a week or so. So you have to discuss this with your dentist and the various options that are available and decide which one is best for you.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
Thanks a lot for calling. Let's go to Carrie in River Falls. Hi, Carrie.
This is Kari.
Oh, Kari, sorry.
That's okay. My mom is 86, and she has probably a little past beginning Alzheimer's. And she had a partial plate. She has her four front teeth on the top, maybe six, and then all her bottom teeth. And she had a partial on the top. And, of course, she put it in a Kleenex, and it got thrown away. And anyway, her dentist is suggesting she gets a new one. I'm thinking she's 86 with Alzheimer's that we could not spend her money that way. Just wondering what your opinion is on that.
You know, it's a tough call because, the question is she able to eat okay without it?
Yeah.
She could probably eat softer foods and so forth and get by. And if this doesn't, if she's not chewing her food properly and it creates stomach upset and so forth and so on, then possibly a new partial would be called for. But if she's getting along okay at the age of 86, and as you say, she's got beginning Alzheimer's and is having problems in that respect, it's a call you have to make based on your own decision.
Yeah.
And it's probably not something you can discuss with her because of her condition. So
she goes back and forth depending on who she talks to.
Right. So yeah. So it is a tough call. The dentist, of course, is interested in optimal chewing ability.
Yeah.
So that's why he probably is recommending a new one. But by the same token, if she already wrapped one up in a tissue and got thrown away, it could very well easily happen again.
Yeah.
And so it's a decision you'll have to be. My suggestion would be discuss it with the other family members and, you know, make a decision as to how you want to go with it.
I was going to do that. I just thought I'd ask you. So thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
That is a tough call with a person of that age and the health condition.
Yeah. But if she can eat and if she can eat okay.
Well, right. Then why put her through that?
Well, that's right. We got DJ from Forest Lake, Minnesota, said a couple of months ago, my dentist replaced one of my front teeth with a cap. The color doesn't match my natural teeth very well. Is this correctable?
Only by redoing it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the dentist missed the shade and didn't get it matched correctly, perhaps through a laboratory error or something. But I certainly would go back and you know, talk about this. And any ethical dentist in a situation like that would certainly be willing to redo the process.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Patricia in the Twin Cities, on to you now. Hi, Patricia.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
Well, I have a question regarding the controversy of fluoride treatment. That whether or not it is actually good for the teeth, because I've heard that it's actually wears the enamel on the teeth, and that it was actually added to the municipal water supply as a way of disposal of the fluoride.
No, that is entirely wrong. It was added to the first municipal water supply in this country was Grand Rapids, Michigan, in 1949, and even Milwaukee, 1954. And the results of that addition.
And that's been
researched
since then.
And it's been totally researched since then. I mean, that's decades of research. And there has been found to be absolutely no harm done to the teeth, the gums, or anything, or the body by this minute amount of fluoride that's been added to water supplies. The benefits have been literally millions and millions of dollars saved in dental costs because of the prevention of cavities. So, I'm a strong advocate for fluoride, and most dentists are. I've never run into a dentist who is against the whole process in the first place. Now, if you're talking about fluoride application in a dental office, there are various new methods of doing that for children. They have what is called a fluoride varnish now, which is just painted on the teeth after the teeth are cleaned. And it basically sits there for a half an hour to an hour, and then you can just brush it off. And this is excellent for prevention of cavities in children. And it's not used that much for adults, but basically most adults in most urban areas today have had the benefits of fluoridated water. And we see an awful lot less of cavities and so forth as a result. So, you know, there anything that basically you see on the internet or blogs or such as that talk about the problems that fluoride creates, most of these are just not true.
All right. There you go. Thank you for calling, Patricia. On to Stephen in Milwaukee. Stephen, hello to you.
Hello. My question for the doctor is, I had a root canal performed about 8 years ago. I went to a doctor recently and found out that there is a part of that root still left that is infected, and they need to re-perform the root canal. Unfortunately, this is only covered partially by my insurance. It would still be about $1,300 in out-of-pocket expenses. I'm wondering, the first people that the people that perform the initial root canal, is there any way I can hold them responsible for this?
It's pretty hard to do after that period of time. But, you know, root canals are probably competently done 98% successful. Mm-hmm. But there is a small, about 2% failure rate on them, and it comes from various different causes. They probably wouldn't know exactly the cause of the failure of the one root that on your tooth until they actually get in there and remove the existing root canal filling and redo it. Sometimes the root is cracked. Sometimes there are other problems which cannot be fixed, and then unfortunately the tooth is lost. But $1,300 sounds like a lot, mm-hmm. you know, for a redo of one root. Do they want to do the entire tooth over or just the one root?
I believe they just need to do the one root, but the thing is they've got to take the crown off, or they have to drill through it and
right.
fill it. And,
right.
Yeah,
well,
my
you know,
insurance covers 50%, so.
Well, that's actually not bad, you know. 54. Did you say you would have, after your insurance coverage, $1,300 of out-of-pocket
Correct.
Expense?
Yeah.
So you're talking this is $2,600 to do this?
Correct.
My suggestion is go get another opinion.
Yeah.
That sounds excessive. That okay. really does.
Okay. There you go. Thanks, Stephen, for calling. Appreciate your call. And we have some more callers. Again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. And Amanda emailed in to ask if it's necessary to have children's cavities filled if the teeth are their baby teeth.
Yes, it is necessary, because if those teeth are lost prior to their natural time of being lost, the permanent teeth can come in any direction they want to, and you can have a lot of problems with the bite and also future problems requiring braces and orthodontics. And it just is, these teeth should be restored, because most children will keep some of their baby teeth until the age of 10 or 11 or 12 years of age.
Wow.
And if those teeth are lost early, that can cause a lot of problems. So it is a good idea to get those teeth fixed.
Robin in Madison emailed about BP in dental sealants. Are the benefits for children outweighed by the risk from BPA?
Yeah.
What about alternatives such as bisGMA?
Well, some of the resin fillings and some of the sealants that are used for children do contain bisphosphonates, but this type of resin that is used is very hard, very firm, and the leakage of anything out of that is very extremely minimal. I mean, we're talking parts per billion, and it is considered by the American Dental Association and the Centers for Disease Control and the various mm-hmm. organizations that look at these problems that using sealants on kids is not a problem with regard to BPA.
All right, there we go. Shalom in Chicago. On to you now. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. My question was, a couple of years ago I sat on a dentist's chair and he had started to remove my old mercury fillings with some sort of white filling. And then I kind of got busy and I haven't finished the job. My question is the old mercury filling in the mouth, is there any danger of mercury poisoning, and is the danger when you actually remove it, and is it better not to remove it?
There is absolutely no danger involved in having a silver mercury filling in your tooth or teeth. The amount of mercury that comes out of that over a period of time is so small. This is another one of those issues that's been researched very thoroughly by government agencies, by universities, by dental schools for the last 35 years. And the silver amalgam fillings have been used basically for over 150 years. and there's never really been any problem with it. Other than the cosmetic effect of them, which they're kind of dark colored and yeah. you know, they can oxidize and get kind of blackish looking. But if they're firm and they're doing their job, there really is no physical reason or other than the aesthetics of it to remove those fillings and replace them with the white stuff. A lot of times the white fillings too, they're so sensitive to moisture and so forth. If they're not done correctly, they're going to fail in a matter of a couple of years. And so it's something that you have to make your own personal choice on. But, you know, as a dentist who's been around, you know, for 50 years in dentistry, I don't recommend it.
Okay, there you go. Thank you for calling. Chuck in Hartford, your turn. Hi, Chuck.
Hi. Yeah, a couple of years ago, I started just experimenting with brushing my teeth, and I just found when I just took the toothbrush and pushed it right in, and so then I could remove a lot of food just by pushing the bristles right between the teeth, and so that's what I do is I just do that around the outside, and then I do it around the inside, and just... So I just push the bristles right between the teeth. What do you think of that?
Well, that's great. It's a good idea to do that. A lot of people can't because the spaces between their teeth are too tight. The bristles won't fit between. But if you can do this with your teeth, there's enough space between the teeth for the bristles to fit through. That's great because pushing those bristles through not only gets rid of any food debris in there, but it gets rid of plaque as well. And that's what you want to do is get rid of the bacterial plaque that sits on the teeth, which basically is the cause of most dental problems, both cavities and gum disease. So what you're doing is fine. In effect, what you're doing is kind of like you're flossing your teeth with your toothbrush. You know, you're getting in between with the bristles of the brush, which is what dental floss would do if you were using it.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And let's go to Francine in Lake Zurich. Francine, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about a crown. I had a crown put on my tooth a few years back. It's never seemed quite right to me. I've always gotten food caught up in there. The dentistry did it a couple times. Still not happy with it. Now it's the food issue's a real problem, and the tooth is starting to hurt. I guess I have two questions. Is there a specialist I could see about having a crown redone? And if in the future, are there alternatives to crowns? Because I haven't been happy with this whole thing.
Well, if the tooth is underneath the crown is sound, a crown should be made basically in the shape of a tooth and fit just like a natural tooth. There are specialists in this field. They're called prosthodontists. They specialize in... basically more difficult problems with tooth restoration, and they do a lot of restoration of missing teeth and so forth, but it is a specialty in dentistry, and you could probably seek the advice or a second opinion from a specialist like that and basically get a better look at it. If the dentist has replaced this thing a couple of times and it's still not satisfactory, I think it deserves a look at it by another person.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And again, you can join in at 1-800-642-1234 or via email at talk@wpr.org. We'd love to hear from you. And let's take another call and go to Ernest in Warren, Ohio. Let's go there. Hi, Ernest.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Yes, I have a question there. I was told by my daughter's dentist. My daughter's 9 years old, and they told me that my daughter would probably be needing braces, but yet she still has a lot of her baby teeth. And I wonder, would that be a good thing to do with, you know, putting braces on the teeth that's going to come out eventually, or what should I do?
Well, what I would recommend is making an appointment with an orthodontist and having the orthodontist examine the child and make a determination as to when and if and when braces are necessary. He would be, if the child still has a lot of the baby teeth, they generally don't start at that point in time. They need more of the permanent teeth to work with. So that's where I would go is first to get an opinion from an orthodontist to see just exactly what the status of the child is and get that type of a recommendation.
Okay. There you go. Thank you for calling. Maddie in Waupaca, your turn. Hi, Maddie.
Hi. Yes, I'd like to ask about, I had a crown put on recently, and when I had the temporary crown put on, it was okay, and when I got the permanent crown put on, my tooth is extremely sensitive to cold, and why would that have changed from the temporary to the permanent, and is there anything that I can do about it?
Well, the first question I would have is, how long have you had the crown?
I've had the crown about a month now.
Okay. I would go back to the dentist who did it and have him check it. There could be a bite problem. If that bite on that crown is a little bit off, it's getting kind of traumatized, and very frequently that type of trauma exhibits itself as sensitivity to cold or heat even. And I'd have, you know, have him check it over. There could be also some receding gum line area around it, which exposes...
Receding gum line in my mouth.
Okay, so have them check it. There are ways, if a receding gum line area is causing the sensitivity to cold, there are materials which can be brushed on that area which will take the sensitivity away almost immediately. Okay. And so your dentist should really know about this. I would go back and have him check it. He or her, whichever the case may be.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for calling. I pulled out of my pocket something that I've been using.
Right.
To get between my teeth. I think they're just called gum, but they're...
Well, they're made by the company that's called Gum. They have a different name. I've seen these, and in fact, I have some at my home, too, and I can't remember exactly what
they're called. They're a little...
It's a little white plastic thing, and with the green end to it, and the end that's green is a very soft material that fits between the teeth and can clean that. I used to recommend, as you know, these little balsa wood... jobs that would do the same thing. But these work quite nicely, and they are available at any pharmacy over the counter.
Yeah, they're very nice, and I like them, and you can get them into a little smaller area than you can with the wooden things. And so I've been using them, and they really
They're very good. In fact, the first time I saw them was my grandchild's orthodontist had recommended them for her when she was in braces, so...
There you go. Forrest and Stevens Point, your turn. Hi, Forrest.
Good afternoon. I'm wondering if you can give me some insight. I have a front tooth that I broke off in a downhill skiing accident 30-plus years ago. And at that time, had a root canal done and a crown put over the top. The crown needs to be replaced at this point. And my dentist is saying I need to visit an endodontist and have a second root canal done on a tooth that has given me absolutely no problem for 30-plus years. And since this will be 1,000-plus to have this done, I'm real curious about, is this reality? It just seems to be...
Well,
different.
You know, there might be a problem with the 30-year-old root canal that your dentist has picked up on. I would suggest possibly a visit to the root canal specialist he wants to send you to, and let the root canal specialist have a look and tell you whether or not it should be redone or not. Obviously, that visit will probably charge you an examination fee or something, as is always done, but at least you'll have all of the information and the whys and the wherefores. If the tooth, the root canal that was done 30 years ago is still perfectly adequate, there's no reason why a new crown can't be put on with going ahead just like that. But there may be a reason for redoing the root canal.
Huh. There may be.
So I'd check it out before going ahead with the crown.
And with that, we are out of time. Lowell, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well,
you'll come back. You'll come back and be with us again.
Another 20 years?
Yeah. Happy 20 years. Dr. Lowell Lakritz of Madison will be back with us. Sorry we didn't get to everybody, but that's the way it always works here on the Ideas Network. Celebrating our 20 years as a network. Actually, I started calling talk shows quite a few years before that, but the network itself started 20 years ago. Taking a look ahead to tomorrow, Harry Baums of the U.S. Department of Agriculture will be joining us, and we'll be talking with Harry about ethanol and renewable energy, so we'll look forward to that. And then coming up tomorrow at 11:45, the talk turns to sheep and wool with Ray Antonovich and Claire Michelinas and Jack Kessner. Stay with us.